from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Okay, the mic's on.
I was going to do it 35 times.
Yeah, that's why I turned the mic on.
Okay, all right.
Sorry, I'm over here. I'm over here doing engineering work, which means I think I get paid more today, right? Isn't that how that works?
I don't know that you can break something and then fix it and get paid for
it.
Okay.
It worked perfectly fine when I left yesterday.
All right. Okay, so you're blaming somebody else. Okay.
I didn't blame anybody. I just said when I left yesterday, this worked like a dream.
It sure does sound like
a dream. By the way, for those of you going, where are they on the stream? The answer is I'm working on it. Calm down. Relax. All right, take a breather. Take a breath.
I mean, I could bring this up, but if I do, you'll just see Rob's camera pointed at the ceiling. So
that goes,
I mean, there's that.
That goes there. That goes there. This goes over here. I mean, listen, it's...
Saw that one coming.
I caught it, though.
Did you?
I caught it, though. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Good morning, Upstate South Carolina. Hello, America. What up, world? Great to be with you. I don't got it. I'm going to get it, though. Ha! Take that, world!
Look at you.
Yeah,
look
boy!
Now, the next time you break it, you know how to fix it.
I'm going to put a note on it. Don't freaking touch my stuff.
I don't think that's yours, but I mean, you know. Now you know how I feel when I'm over here doing the same thing and you give me that look, like what are you doing? Why now you understand.
The perils of radio, ladies and gentlemen, the perils of radio. All right, welcome in. We got a show to do. Shocking, I know. I am Rob Brown. He is the great with Lonzo. Wonderful to have you here on the radio broadcast. Yeah, right? Aren't we supposed to be doing a show now?
Oh, it's wonderful to have me here and them here, but you, I don't know right
well, that's,
now.
That's right, very
right now,
rude.
You're over there breaking stuff, and you know, what's going to break next?
I fixed it. Quite the opposite. I am the fixer. I'm here to make life better.
Yeah, a fixer is something totally different. Now I'm really worried.
Not that kind. All right? I do my sports gambling legally. I go to North Carolina, which actually, by the way, I'm due for another trip. Because we got week zero football coming up next week.
Wow, that's worth traveling for, going up there for week zero.
It's football, baby.
Who's Georgia Tech playing? That's Florida State. Is that what it was?
You're reigning, defending, undisputed, and undefeated Atlantic Coast Conference champions, the Florida State Seminoles. As a matter of fact, that is correct. And again. Yesterday we had, I actually thought about you yesterday, great one. I was...
I think about you all the time.
Aw, yeah, you're so sweet.
I wonder what Rob's doing.
You're
right
so
now.
Sweet. You can just text me anytime you want.
Yeah, I know. It's just like talking to myself. It's awesome.
So yesterday, I do that all the time too. Yesterday, I was hosting You Better, You Bet on the BetQL Network, and we had Caroline Fenton on, who is the host of SEC This Morning on SEC Radio on Sirius XM Radio. And Caroline's phenomenal. So we had Caroline Fenton on yesterday to talk to her, and we started talking about week zero. We asked her, and you and I are going to do this later on today, but who are the teams you think are going to be the most disappointing this year in college football? Who's due for a letdown? And her answer was Florida State, which makes sense. I'm not pushing back on that. That's a team that lost its starting quarterback to the NFL, two of its starting wide receivers to the NFL, its starting tight end to the NFL, its leading rusher to the NFL, and no shortage of defensive players to graduation in the NFL. And I don't think it is unfair. In fact, quite the opposite. I think it's very fair to think FSU's taking a step back this year. We're going to talk about that coming up here in just a little while because I got a few other teams I put on that list as well. But she said, despite the fact that I think Florida State's taking a step back, I've never been more excited about a Florida State game in my life. And I said, why is that? And she put the reasoning behind being excited for week zero in a way that I thought, oh, that's how I should have said it to the great one. She said, because the threshold for what I will accept as good football right now, the bar is on the floor, okay? Like at this point, the threshold for what I would consider entertaining football is set at like Thursday night Maction levels right now.
Okay, but...
Also, I miss Thursday night Maction. Bring it back.
I was going to say, can you say that and still watch preseason NFL? Is week zero...
Did it last night. Did it last night. Watch every snap of that game.
No, what I'm saying, will week zero be better than NFL preseason?
I say yes because, again, I'm not getting Billy Zappi hour on my TV.
Hey, Zappi is the most experienced quarterback out there. So, there is a journeyman ahead of him. But still, I mean, the quarterbacks on New England's side were the most exciting. Two of them were. And Zappi wasn't one of them.
I was kind of bummed out. I really wanted Joe Milton to ball the hell out. You know what I want more than anything else in the world right now? I want New England to be so desperate to find Tom Brady Volume 2.0. I want them to be so desperate to find the next guy that they... No, Stream's Up is what I'm saying.
Okay.
I want them to be so desperate to find the next Tom Brady for them to go all in on Drake May. And then here comes this cat out of Tennessee. Here comes Joe Milton III. And I want, and I don't know if it's going to happen yet or not. It looked like after last week, there was a chance. I want Joe Milton to ball out so hard that he leaves Drake May behind him. I want Joe Milton to ball out so hard that the Patriots have a quarterback controversy because the guy they drafted in the first round is getting outpaced by a dude who missed a chunk of last season with a blown up leg. And I want them to have to go through that that chaos.
See, here's the thing. I think all crowd reactions go back to wrestling when you're comparing crowd reactions.
Got to get a pop.
And Milton got the biggest pop.
After what he did last week, how could he not,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, immediately, I had nodded off, I gotta be honest, and then you know, that pop happened, I was like, whoa, what is that? And there it was.
Joe Milton III in preseason game numero uno stepped up and balled out against Carolina. Y'all saw it? Y'all were watching that game? Stepped up and balled out, had that big run on like his first or second play from scrimmage.
Is that a statement on Carolina, though? Is that saying that the third and fourth and whatever string for Philadelphia is that much better than Carolina?
The third and fourth string of just about every NFL team is going to pale in comparison to the first and second string of every NFL team. That's why they're third and fourth string. That's why guys positions are fighting for their job.
Was Milton out there with the first string last week?
first-string offense? No, he was not.
That was my point.
Yeah.
That he was out there against equal talent, supposedly, and showed out last week, but Carolina's fifth and sixth string are worse than Philadelphia's fifth and sixth string. I get you're trying to defend it. I don't think you're actually understanding what I'm saying.
No, I think what I'm reacting to it in saying third and fourth string guys going up against third and fourth string guys. And this is why I did not spend a ton of time last week talking about Joe Milton and go, oh, look at that. We got a QB controversy in New England. Because third and fourth string guys, I do not think even the most prestigious knowers of ball are able to watch the second half of preseason games. You may be able to watch and say, like, that guy stands out. That guy stands out. But to be able to say that guy stands out so much that I think that he's projecting upward on the depth chart, that's tough to do. That's tough. That's real difficult to do, which is why every year you get a couple of guys that get cut from squad A, they go to squad B, and by the end of the year they worked up to number two, and you're going, wait a minute, how did that team not see it? How did that team not get it? How did that team have that diamond in the rough sitting on the squad and miss it? And the answer is, because they were up against other third stringers. How the hell would they have known, right? Like, you're doing the best you can. That's why we play these preseason games. This is also why I've said the diminishment, the removal of the fourth preseason game, while I understand it, the NFL did it in order to trade up to one more regular season game because that's what makes money, because only the most hardcore, preseason ain't for casuals, only the most hardcore are checking in and are entertained by preseason games. They're boring, all right? They just are what they are. They're boring unless you are watching schemes, unless you are watching shells, unless you are watching like a coach, not a fan. If you're doing it that way, then it's fun. And it is, I think, if you allowed NFL coaches by and large to have their way, we'd go back to having four preseason games because you want to see how much more you can get out of Joe Milton. Here's the thing. You're right. Billy Zappi Hour is the most experienced quarterback on that roster, but there's four dudes on that roster right now. Two of them seasoned veterans, two of them rooks, and teams are only carrying two quarterbacks on the active roster and one on the practice squad. So New England's got a decision to make. And that decision may very well come down to, do we want two rooks on the quarterback spot on the roster? Do we want, because if you do that, that also means you got to throw Drake May into the mix in week one. And what I said this yesterday on the other show, I'll say it on this show until I'm blue in the face. There is a mistake waiting to be made by the New England Patriots that I hope they don't make. And that mistake is to Bryce Young, Drake May.
Ooh, I'm glad you brought that up, because there's a reason why I'm laughing.
We'll come to that in a second.
No.
Somebody said Bryce Young's short on Twitter, and you were like, ha, that guy's a genius.
He's trending right now.
Yeah, and because he was dropping freaking dots yesterday,
yeah,
bro.
So I was worried he was hurt, but every other video is showing kids with their feet hanging off the chair just kicking them.
BY, and we'll talk to Rashad Beard at 8:40 this morning from the Panther Nation podcast about practice yesterday, but BY was dropping dots yesterday.
You're avoiding it, but you know that's funny.
It is funny. I can't give you.
I mean, that's an algorithm thing. That's not me.
I can't give you. Yeah, it's your algorithm, dog. Why do you think it's showing up on yours?
So they've heard me talk about how short he is so much that every other video they're showing.
Wasn't it you 2 days ago saying you thought about your knee hurting and then all of a sudden your Twitter advertisements were like, hey, old guy, here's some Bengay.
No, it was my shoulder.
Oh, your shoulder.
Which on video, I never said once my shoulder was hurting. I'd just been rubbing it. And then suddenly it showed up on there.
Which point here is.
It does hurt, by the way, but I don't know why.
BY was dropping dots yesterday, and what I don't want to see, I'm not going to spend a ton of time on the New England Patriots, although this is a transplant city, we got to spend a little bit of time on everybody. The New England Patriots have a mistake sitting right in front of them that I hope they don't make, and that is Bryce Younging Drake May. Here's what I mean by that. What I don't need to see the New England Patriots do is to throw Drake May out there to the Wolves behind a, and I've done the research, bad football team, thinking that he is going to be football Jesus in Foxborough, Massachusetts. He's going to save the Patriots from impending doom just by being Drake May. And then you go, oh, you mean if we stick him behind a if we stick him behind a college-level offensive line and give him exactly and precisely zero weapons to worry? Ramondre Stevens is the guy that's running in front of him. Quick, you all watched the game last night. Name me a New England Patriot wide receiver today. Just one. Right, exactly. That guy's a project quarterback.
Number 86.
Nailed it. Quick, is there a number 86 on the Patriots roster this year?
Absolutely. Saw him play a bunch last night.
Point is, you throw him out there behind. Here's the point.
You don't know if there's not.
I don't either. Correct. You throw a bunch of hot garbage out there in red, blue, and silver. And you put Drake May behind that. All of a sudden, that project quarterback, you set him back quite a bit, right? You set him back quite a bit, and you end up in a spot where the guy that could be the answer long-term ain't that no mas. But what do you do in that scenario if you're New England? You got to have a quarterback. So do you go with Jacoby Brissett? And you go, you know what? We're going to roll the dice on joining the Lions as an 0-16 team because they've got 0-16 talent.
By the way, Kwon Baker wears 86, plays wide receiver. He's 6'1 and weighs 210 pounds.
Gosh, and Lonzo just has that information memorized. That's pretty impressive.
I do. I've been learning. I've been watching you. So, I mean, you know.
I think the New England Patriots, I think at the end of the year, the Carolina Panthers are going to be thanking their lucky stars for the existence of the New England Patriots this year. Because I think the Patriots are going to, without a doubt, remove the Carolina Panthers from being the butt of the jokes. All the jokes. They're going to be that bad. And so if they're going to be that bad, my question here is, if you are the Pats, do you throw Drake May out there? Do you throw him out there behind that team, a team that a lot of us think has 0-16 talent? Do you throw him out there with no skill position players to work with? Do you throw him out there behind a shoddy offensive line? Do you throw him out there with a bad football team and OBT Dubs, a rookie first-year head coach, and go, good luck, bud. Don't die. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to week three. Your starting quarterback for the New England Patriots, Drake May. Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. Problem you bump into is, what do? Do you roll out Jacoby Brissett and remove any chance of wins? Do you keep Billy Zappi Hour on the menu? Or do you bring up a vet, leave Drake May on the active roster, end up in a spot where when inevitably Jacoby Brissett gets smoked and you got an injured quarterback, do you roll Drake May out there then? Does that help you at all? Or do you put Drake May somewhere and bring Joe Milton III up and be like, hey, if we're going to be bad, let's be bad and weird and let that guy roll around and see what happens.
All right, if you were the coach, what would you do? Who would you cut? Who would you put on the practice squad?
Because
what? Do they carry? You normally carry two, right?
Or
do
you carry two?
Right.
You have the have your emergency third slash practice squad guy. So you can keep three of the four. Keep in mind, though, you put a guy on the practice squad, he can go play somewhere else, too, right? So here's the Joe Milton theory. If I'm looking at, I don't know, Baltimore, right? Or somebody that's got a quarterback that plays that style of football. I put Joe Milton on the practice squad. He might go. He might be gone. And what happens if Joe Milton goes somewhere else and just absolutely lights it up? Not like he did in the first game, but kind of like he did in the first game. I don't know. I think that this Patriots team is in a world of hurt right now, dude. Like, all of y'all that sat there and had to watch Tom Brady and the New England Patriot dynasty for as long as you had to watch them. I don't think karma is real, but if it is, the 2024 New England Patriots might be the illustration of it, right? Because this team's going to stink. And they were good for 20 years because of their quarterback, and now I think they're going to be real bad and have no idea what to do with their quarterback. All right, when we come back here in just a minute, you guys, remember how I told all of you back during the draft that the Atlanta Falcons made a great call in drafting Michael Penix Jr., and all of you guys said, whoa, 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 whoa. They didn't make the defense better, Rob. Hey, guess what? They made the defense better. Picking up another Pro Bowler yesterday. We'll break that down next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Man, if you're an Atlanta Falcons fan right now, you gotta like football right now if you're a Falcons fan, right? You gotta like football right now. Yesterday, the Atlanta Falcons signed two-time Pro Bowler Justin Simmons to their defense. And just like that, the team that all of y'all, Falcons fans, back during the draft period, when they grabbed Michael Penix Jr. to come in and serve as QB2 on this squad, and we will see, I believe, a hefty amount of Michael Penix Jr. coming up tomorrow when the Falcons open up week 2 preseason Saturday at noon. A lot of y'all were real upset. Oh, we had a top 10 draft pick. We needed to ramp up the defense, and we didn't do that. How dumb are we? And I said, whoa. Why don't you hang on a second? Won't you relax for a second? There's a lot of days between the National Football League draft, which was, and I checked the calendar, 7 months ago. A lot of time between the NFL draft and week 1 of the regular season. Why don't you take a breather, big guy? There's a lot that still needs to be done. There's still a lot of time to make roster moves. No, Rob, you big, dumb idiot. We needed, had to, should have, can't believe we didn't make the defense better. And I laid out all my reasons that making Michael Penix Jr. your pick was a good thing. Kirko's Achilles is a question mark. Whether or not he'll be able to finish the season. A season in which the Atlanta Falcons were already the preseason favorite to win this trash can of a division we call the NFC South. And on top of that, there was the tampering thing, meaning you at the time were at a risk of not having a first round pick next year, which means that going into year two of the Kirko regime, a regime that I told you when he signed the contract for 3 years, but it was all front loaded in the first two. You got him for two, you're cutting him for three. That's why they gave him all the money up front so that they could cut him, but not feel like they were screwing the guy over when he picked Atlanta instead of going back to Minnesota, where, by the way, he'd have been working with the best wide receiving core in football. You got him for 2 years and you need the next guy.
Here's the thing. He's probably grateful he's not in Minnesota because everybody hurt there.
It's a bad offseason for the Vikings. So,
has Kirk Cousins been practicing? Because I haven't seen anything.
I actually haven't seen anything either. I
haven't heard anything. Haven't seen, you know, usually there's videos popping up. And is he okay? Is he going to be starting the season?
Don't know. Good point. My belief, my understanding is that, yes, he will be ready for week one. We will find out. But that's another reason to have gotten the next guy in the fold. And I said, yo, there's a lot of time. Well, over the past 2 days, the Atlanta Falcon defense has gotten a lot better. Like a lot better. The Atlanta Falcons went and got, in return for a third round pick, Matthew Judon out of New England, an exceptional pass rusher, a man who did miss last season with a torn biceps, but the year before that had a career high 15 and a half sacks on the season and is a pretty good run stuffer as well. Matthew Judon goes in there and fills what was considered by many of you one of the biggest gaps on the Falcon defense, an excellent pass rusher. Now you got the guy. And then Atlanta, Terry Fontenot, former New Orleans Saints assistant GM, a guy that a lot of folks thought the Saints sent over as a sabotage move. Terry Fontenot goes, yo, hold the phone. I ain't done yet. And he goes yesterday and gets Mr. Simmons, Justin Simmons, a two-time NFL Pro Bowler, a man that has more interceptions than any other player in the National Football League since 2016, the best available defensive free agent remaining, and one of the best available defensive free agents of this offseason.
Why was he still out there, though? I think that's kind of a concern, isn't it?
No, not to me. And the answer is because Justin Simmons was going to go one of two ways. He either wanted fat stacks with a long-term contract because he's 30 years old, or he wanted a very valuable one-year deal, and nobody was willing to meet him in the middle. He wined and dined with my New Orleans Saints a number of days ago. Mickey Loomis and Dennis Allen were trying to talk him into, from what I've been told, a three-year contract that would have paid him out roughly the same as what the Falcons are giving him per year, except the Falcons gave him one for him to go out this year, get himself a couple of picks, and then try to maybe get a one-year $12 million deal somewhere next year.
That's an expensive deal.
It is a very expensive
deal. By the way, video out there of Kirk Cousins practicing, throwing balls to Drake London and to Kyle Pitts.
Kyle Pitts is going to be a problem.
And those
in the
videos
league this year
are like a day old and a couple days old. So
Kyle Pitts is
going to
be
recently
a problem this year. So Justin Simmons gets added to the Atlanta defense alongside Matthew Judon. This team had two gaping holes. They needed help at defensive back because they got a real good defensive back feel with Terrell back there. This defensive backfield was good. It was just very shallow, right? Mina Kimes of ESPN said the exact same thing that I said yesterday on You Better You Bet when this signing was announced. Here's what Mina Kimes had to say about the Falcons after the signing of Justin Simmons. Yeah, that's it. They were already my favorites to win the division. They were already the team that I would have put dinero on to win the trash bag of a division that is the NFC South. Now they are for sure that. So everybody that got real big mad at the Michael Penix Jr. selection, everybody who got mad at that selection, I think every one of y'all owes Terry Fontenot and the Atlanta Falcons an apology. If you are a Falcons fan who was backing the bus up over Terry Fontenot and your administration, I think right now you owe them an apology. I think right now you need to send an edible arrangements courtesy of Terry Fontenot to the Atlanta Falcons HQ, because you just went from we got to make our defense better to arguably the best defense in this division. If you're a Falcons fan that was busting them up, you better be saying right now. Because Terry Fontenot in 2 days, fix the biggest two gaping holes in your defense. And not just with bodies, not just let's go get a guy. Terry Fontenot went out there and got you the best available pass rusher, and he got you the best available defensive back, and he has now paired them up on the defensive side with Grady Jarrett, Judon on the other side. He has now put Justin Simmons in a backfield with A.J. Terrell and Jesse Bates. I mean, this Falcons defense is now for sure and definitively the best defense in the NFC South. And I would argue that unless Kirko's Achilles pops again, you have got the best offense in the NFL. Is it over the top, Zoe, to say the Falcons now, at least on paper, have the best offense in this division? Yeah. Is it too early?
Well, as soon as Kirk Cousins went there, they did, because they were already only missing a quarterback.
And you mean Desmond Ridder ain't the guy?
No, apparently not. So, I mean, people were already believing that as soon as Cousins went there. Well, if he stays healthy, I mean, who's better offense? Baker, maybe? I mean, that's it.
I mean, would you take Baker over Kirko for 1 year and 1 year only? Because it's 1 year and 1 year only for these two teams. The guys they're bringing in, Judon, Justin Simmons, these are all one-year rentals. This is Atlanta making a run this year. This is Atlanta assembling the Avengers for 1 year and 1 year only. But winning the division gets you into the show. So if you are a Falcons fan, you better call up Terry and say, because Terry Fontenot just took your defense and made him the best in the division shortly after he took your offense and made it the best of the division and set you up with the QB of the future in the process. It's pretty slick, Terry. Pretty slick. Back it up, Terry. It's pretty slick. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. So there was an interesting editorial that I saw yesterday and I wanted to get to. This editorial was written on NBC Sports website. Found it last night as I was laying my angelic head down for a night of slumber. And I was scanning the internet, doom scrolling as the people do.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, doom scrolling. Doom scrolling is where it's late at night. You know you should be going to sleep, but instead you just keep scrolling the social media and the Twitters and the news feeds just to see everything that's going wrong in the world.
Oh, okay.
Doom scrolling.
Okay, you got to where I thought you were going. Yeah. It's trying to find out if we're all going to die.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Doom scrolling. It is ordinarily reserved for when you are just looking through all the inevitable bad news that's taking place in the world, but you can also go with doom scrolling as, I know I should be asleep right now, but I'm just going to make my life worse by staying awake and looking at other people's Instagrams and everything they got going on right now. Anyway, doom scrolling last night after the fiance went night-night, and I came across an article that I could have written myself. Kind of wish I did. The article's headline is Analysis. Austin Dillon crossed the line without NASCAR specifying where its line actually is. The author of this article began this article by saying, quote, NASCAR says Austin Dillon crossed the line in his slam bang victory at Richmond Raceway. So what and where is that line? By NASCAR's own admission, we still don't know precisely. That's very fair. Remember, when I said back on Monday, Tuesday, when this story came out, right? When we were addressing the Cookout 400 victory of Stone Cold Steve Austin Dillon, Austin 316 says, I just spun your ass. When we were addressing it, there was a wide spectrum of views that came about. One of them was, glad to see the three car being treated like the three car again. What would Dale do? Exactly what Stone Cold Steve Austin Dillon did. That's what, brother. And then there was the other side, which is, hey, Rubin's racing. Which, don't get me wrong, Rubin's racing. I agree with that entirely. But then there's the other side of the spectrum. Where's the difference between rubbing, bumping, shoving, and intentionally wrecking? Where's the line? And I said the problem you're going to have with this is that is a subjective definition. That is something that is very hard to determine. The reason I did not think you were going to see a big time punishment of Austin Dillon is because in order to prove that it was worth the punishment, you have to prove that it was intentional. And in order to prove that it was intentional, you have to say it was done with intent. You have to prove that Austin Dillon did this on purpose. And I did not know if anyone would be able to do it. Now, NASCAR did the full investigation. We talked to you about this yesterday, where they found audio of Austin Dillon's crew chief slash spotter saying,
wreck him.
And then he wrecked him. And I would say in that spot, pretty much proves intent, right? Pretty much proves intent. The authority figure on the radio said, wreck him. And then the guy with the 6,000-pound steel weapon wrecked him. I'd say that there was a good bit of intent there, and NASCAR was able to find that. So, to respond to this author that penned this editorial for NBC Sports, when he says, we still don't know precisely, I would disagree. I think we do. If we know that it was an intentional wreck, you catch a wreck. I'm not talking about a bump. If you intentionally wreck somebody, and I would go one step further. If the thing with Denny Hamlin doesn't happen, I think he gets away with it with Logano with the first bump. Have you gotten a chance to go back and see the whole thing, though? Have you seen this series play out, the sequence play out?
Yeah, I've seen a bunch of times.
Okay. So the first wreck, I think he gets away with. When he tags Logano in there, because he hit him right in the rear bumper, Logano had slowed up. Granted, it was going into the turn, and I think that Stone Cold Steve Austin Dillon was probably going too fast into the turn, but he also planned on using Logano as a brake, right? I think if it's just Logano, he gets away with it. But that fact that he then collected Denny Hamlin and had to move down the track, had to angle the car down to do it, and he got told wreck him. I think all those things stacked together is ultimately what did in Austin Dillon and cost him his playoff berth. So when I look at how this thing played out, the thought that I had was, if it was just the first wreck, Austin Dillon's fine. If it's just the second rec, I'm not entirely sure if he's good, because that one was the one that you go, all right, dog, come on. You know what you did. You know what you did. And then when we got the audio back and you heard the spotter say wreck him followed by he wrecked him, I would say at that point you can go, yeah, you had intent. You did this intentionally. Now, I don't think the editorialist in this question, by the way, the reason I keep saying that is because NBC Sports put this up, but they did not attach a writer to it. They just put up written by NBC Sports. The argument that I would make here is from this point forward, NASCAR is going to be looking at scenarios like this to see if they can gauge intent. The problem with gauging intent is you can look at it and say there's an intent. I can look at it and say there's intent. Everybody can look and say there's intent, but it's a very hard thing to prove. I think you can prove it. I think you can prove it with this scenario, which is why Austin Dillon caught the L. I think if he only does it to Logano, he's fine. I think if he only does it to Hamlin, he's fine. And if he only does it to one of them and the spotter doesn't say, wreck that guy, then he's probably fine. But all of those things together, I think it's fair to say we know that what Austin Dillon did was done out of desperation with intent. And while I absolutely believe, rubbing is racing, it's a contact sport. Guys are going to throw cars into other cars, and that's part of the game. I'm not trying to remove it. In fact, quite the opposite. I think that's good for the sport. That is one of the things that's entertaining. There is a difference between a bump and run and putting a dude into a wall at a buck 25 out of turn four. There is a difference there. It is the difference in letting NFL players tackle, hit, be violent, and allowing NFL players to knock dudes directly in the noggin. One of those is very clearly bad.
All right, one thing I don't understand about the evolution of NASCAR, why don't they have code words, phrases, or numbers now instead of just saying wreck them? And, it would seem, I don't know, if you say blue, wreck them, or if you say 37, wreck them.
Danger, danger, danger.
Exactly. I mean, you know, instead of just saying wreck them, you think they would be smart enough to come up with a code word so that that couldn't be admissible anymore.
I'm sure. I'm honestly, at this point, down the line, they would likely do that. Now that NASCAR determined that, and again, NASCAR didn't directly say this. I am inferring this on my own. But NASCAR, to me, kind of indirectly said, the spotter saying wreck them, and then the wreck them, that to me is probably what pushed this over the edge. I think if any one of the three things don't happen, if the Logano wreck doesn't happen, but the Hamlin wreck and the spotter happen, I think Austin Dillon might get away with it. If the Logano wreck does happen, but the Hamlin wreck doesn't happen and the spotter says wreck him, I think he's fine. And if the Logano wreck and the Hamlin wreck both happen, but the spotter didn't say wreck him, I think he's fine. But I think all three of those things together, we talked about this on Tuesday, the concept of circumstantial evidence, right? A piece or two of circumstantial evidence is not enough to convict somebody. But like 15 or 16 pieces of circumstantial evidence are. If there's a bank robbery that happens and you're found standing outside of the bank when the cops show up and you happen to have a bunch of cash in your back pocket, that's circumstantial. You might carry cash around all the time and you just happen to be going to the bank. But if you happen to be standing there and you happen to have a bunch of cash on you and you happen to have a gun on you, even if you're concealed carry and allowed to be carrying it, you happen to be a gun, have a gun and a wad of cash standing outside of a bank right after an armed robbery. And oh, by the way, it turns out you're wearing a black shirt. And so was the rob. Okay, this is all circumstantial. You might just be happening to wear a black shirt. You might just happen to be a concealed carry permit holder. You might just happen to be a guy who carries. All of these things are circumstantial. But when you stack all of them up and then put it next to what happened, at some point you go, yeah, that's too much circumstantial. Oh, these things can't all be circumstantial, coincidental. And that's kind of what I think happened here is you got wreck one, you got wreck two, and you've got the spotter saying wreck him, and then you wrecked him. I'm being real careful now because you get it. Thanks, Russ, man. You got all these things laid up next to each other, and they all happen bang, 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 bang. It's not circumstantial anymore. So I think we know what the line is to the author of this article. The author of this article needs to know the line is when you declare that it is intentional and there is so much circumstantial evidence that you can no longer doubt that it is coincidental or circumstantial evidence. When you look at it, you go, yeah, no, that's, you did that bleep on purpose, bud. That's where the line is. And you can't draw it hard in the sand because every situation is going to be different than every other situation. No two races are ever going to be the same. In football, a hold's a hold, and every hold's going to be different, but at the end of the day, there is a set of rules that say, if this, then hold, if this, not. In NASCAR, every race and every wreck is going to be different. Every race and every wreck are going to look different, be handled different, happen at different speeds on different parts of the track. So you can't put bracket parentheses of if X, then Y. If this happens, then it's intentional and a punishment, and if it doesn't, then it's not. You got to go case by case with NASCAR, and if I'm going case by case with NASCAR, I'm going to look at this case and go, you wrecked one, you came down the track and wrecked two, and your spotter said, wreck them, and then you wrecked them. Yeah, you're taking one for this. You're taking one for this. So I don't have a problem with it. I think it was handled the right way by NASCAR. I was ready to, when they announced the punishment, I was ready to jump all over NASCAR for doing too much. But then once I heard the audio of the spotter saying, wreck him, I was like, oh, that's it. You're cooked. You're cooked. That's not circumstantial anymore. That's definitive. So I got no problem. I think NASCAR handled this the right way. Let him keep the win. Let him keep the prizes. Take him off the playoffs because the only reason he did all this was in order to get that playoff bid. So take away the thing that mattered most. So now guys know if they drive like that down the stretch, that playoff win ain't guaranteed, so there's really no point in driving like that down the stretch. I think this was handled really well by NASCAR. You know what else is going to be handled really well? This sports flash file. You know what else is going to be handled really well? This sports flash by Lonzo.
I'm giving you a no rectum guarantee.
Are you going off the screen now?
I have to. Oh. Because the printer's messed up. Okay. The Atlanta Braves took the first three of a four-game set against the San Francisco Giants, but couldn't complete the sweep, getting shut out 6-0 yesterday. Max Fried was tagged with a seventh loss after giving up three runs through 5.1 innings. Atlanta's offense recorded just four hits and one walk in the contest. Atlanta is now 64-57, seven games back of Philadelphia in the NL East. Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney announced yesterday that Clemson has lost three players for the season to injury. Offensive lineman Watson Young suffered a torn ACL. Cornerback Miles Oliver is fighting an injured pec and ACL. And offensive lineman Ian Reed has a knee injury. Make sure you tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for a brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Deez will get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great grass, great debate, and a whole lot of fun, Wire to Wire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.